Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is me. My name is Kelly Barner, and I'm the host of the Sourcing Hero podcast. I'm also the head of content and brand partnerships at Art of Procurement. And this podcast is a collaboration between Art of Procurement and the team at UNA. We've now published 23 episodes of the podcast in the second season. Excellent examples of people sharing their stories and points of view in their own words for the rest of us to benefit from. Each episode runs between 20 and 25 minutes. And in that time, I have the opportunity to give you three things. You have an opportunity to get to know the guest a little bit better. You get a focused discussion on a topic that they feel passionate about. And then, of course, you get to hear their answer to the question, what is a sourcing hero to you? Every single guest that has joined me has been enthusiastic and well-spoken about their chosen topic. So it's this question about heroism that people really have to stop and think about. We've had a wide range of answers to the question, as you might expect, which adds to the uniqueness of each conversation. Now, in this episode, right at the end of 2021, I'd like to share some of what I think are the highlights of the second season so far. And whether you subscribe to The Sourcing Hero, or whether you found this episode on social media or on the UNA website, please know that we are always open to new ideas for guests, topics, and questions. Don't hesitate to reach out. We started this season with a very special guest. Dr. Dred Scott, who is the president and CEO of the Kansas City Boys and Girls Club, joined Anthony Clervey and I to talk about what he has learned from his years of working with young people and how we can transfer some of those learnings to the business world. Personally, I thought it was really important to start off with what I would call a real hero, someone that's occupation is closely related to service, someone that is changing lives every single day. The core message that came out of that conversation was the absolute necessity of hope. If young people can be given an opportunity to dream their own future, that is the first step in their path to reaching it. And the Kansas City Boys and Girls Club plays a key role in nurturing that hope and then making sure it turns into an action plan. Now, in the world of business, we don't typically use the word hope. Instead, we talk about vision. But in truth, it comes from the same place. Vision is no less critical in business than hope is in the life of an individual or their community. And just like it is hard to go from hope to a life plan, it can be really challenging to crystallize a vision into a roadmap that people can follow. As procurement continues to transform into a more value-oriented, customer-centric organization, we are going to need visionary leaders. We need people who can dream big dreams and chart a path to making them a reality, ultimately selling those ideas to other people such that they will choose to follow along. Now, speaking of getting people to follow along, we had two guests provide us with perspectives on building influence. Understanding how to build and wield influence is important for everyone, but it's particularly important for procurement for two reasons. Now, the first reason is because influence doesn't necessarily come with rank, and procurement doesn't always have the C-level clout that we want. So being able to influence people laterally or up the chain, that's incredibly important to achieving our objectives. And the second reason I talk about influence is that it's a great foundational people skill, or soft skill, you might call it. In order to be able to influence other people, You have to understand what motivates them. You have to read their response to things and adjust your approach appropriately. That's not an easy thing to do. And so I think if we can focus constructively on what influence really is and how it works, it's going to help us in a lot of other areas that we've been trying to move along in. Now, we had two different guests talk about this. The first one was in episode 25. Mike Morsch, who's the VP of Global Procurement and Supply Chain for CDK Global, joined me. And then in episode 36, Tom Augenthaler, who is an expert in B2B influence management, actually on purpose as his job, he focuses on helping people build influence in the B2B sphere. He joined me to give his professional perspective. And they each shared something that I think is particularly critical. Now, Mike talked about the difference between a leader's day job and their night job. This is something that a previous manager of his had talked about. Your day job are the things that are on your performance evaluation, the things that are straightforward on your to-do list that you need to accomplish. Your night job is less about tasks and it's more about creativity and approach and ideas. And I would make the case that it's at night when you're thinking back on what went well, what didn't go well, what open challenges you're going to face the next day. Your night job is figuring out the most constructive way to solve for those open issues. Now, given all of Tom Augenthaler's experience with B2B influence building, he actually talked about a couple of the most common roadblocks for people that are either on their way to becoming influencers or people who want to be influencers. What are the things that slow them down? And there were two big things that he flagged. The first one, and I totally get this, it's an easy trap, vanity metrics. How many people liked my post? How many people commented on my post? Did I get emojis? Did I get texts? Did anyone share it? That may or may not have any actual meaning around how much influence you have. And yet most of the social platforms that we use are designed to encourage us to hunger after those metrics. The other thing Tom talked about is impatience around the amount of time it takes for investment in a personal brand or organizational influence to actually turn back around and deliver some kind of ROI, right? So it takes a long time. And if you have short-term thinking, and if you don't have the discipline to stick with your plan to say, I'm going to post something every week, or I'm going to comment on one person's article a day, you're probably going to run out of steam before all of that investment and influence is actually going to pay dividends. So it's a long-term game. Now, I would add my own little piece of advice around the influencer thing. And this actually comes from that series of commercials where the guy is counseling all these people who are turning into their parents. It's a funny set of commercials. And in one of them, he's coaching this group and he says to them, okay, piece of advice. You got up early. No one cares. Right? So sometimes what we emphasize, what we share, it's too much information. It's not important to other people. To me, this is a reminder that influence for its own sake is absolutely useless. You're not building influence for the sake of being able to say you're an influencer. You're building influence because of what it allows you to achieve or the doors that it opens for your team or the relationships that it allows you to build. And I would actually say, going back to Mike's expression, it truly is a night job in and of itself. Figuring out how you're going to constructively work with people so that you get what you need and they get something out of it too, and everybody is still happy with everybody at the end of the day. Now, staying true to that, if we want to not just build influence for the sake of getting people to appreciate us or getting people to do stuff for us, but we're trying to build influence so that we can open doors and form relationships, we may need a mantra. And that's something that Jeffrey Ostrander gave us in episode 39. Now, I'll come clean. I've known Jeff for a really long time. He was actually one of my clients back when he worked at Conway and when I was the associate director of consulting services at MTORIS. Younger listeners may have to go look MTORIS up, but that was all the way back in the old days when I had a quote-unquote real job. Now, what I can tell you about Jeff is that he is a very quiet leader, but he's a leader nonetheless. So he serves an excellent bridge between this idea of constructive influence building and then really coaching people into being able to build meaningful relationships. And in my interview with him, he talked about the four parts of his mantra. So here they are. The first one is be comfortable communicating. And as he pointed out, that means all formats, face-to-face, Zoom, over the phone, in email, using Slack. Be comfortable in all circumstances. Good news, bad news, surprise news, all these different kinds of situations. No other talent or category expertise really matters all that much if you can't communicate effectively with other people. And part of that is the second piece of his mantra, which is find good ways to simplify the things that are complex. Now, this comes through in a couple of different ways in procurement's work. One is in descriptions. If somebody says, what does that mean? Or why is it this way? If you have to go all the way back to, well, let me tell you when I started working here. Nope, you've already lost them. Too complicated, too much detail. Say it in plain language. Don't try to use abbreviations or fancy terminology. Procurement has gotten this feedback for years. Nobody likes it. They don't know what we're talking about. And sometimes it even comes across as pretentious. So be simple in the way that you explain things. But today, more and more, we're dealing with all this disruption. And so when the tension starts to rise and something needs to be handled, can you cut to the chase and explain the central point? Simplify the complex. Now, Jeff also talked about the need to focus on the little things while understanding how they connect to the big things. I think that's one of the things that probably ties to his success as a manager, because he's able to monitor big organizational goals while making sure that individual contributors and groups within his team make their own development. So keep an eye on the details, be detail-oriented, because that all contributes to procurement's brand. But you can't just focus on the details. Everything has to connect up to the big picture. And then finally, focus on the why just as much as you focus on the how. And I think that's hard. I mean, talk about forcing people to simplify the complex. You can go through some incredibly long detailed explanation, and all someone has to do is look at you and say, why? And if you're not prepared to answer that question in the moment, even if you need to pause and think about it, it's going to be very hard to carry forward with what you're talking about. So that is the fourth critical part of his mantra. Now, I want to pause here for just a moment and remind you all of this that I've been sharing and everything that you've heard. These points were all shared in a podcast that is predominantly about procurement, right? Anyone that thinks procurement professionals are not in the people business has completely missed the point. And it doesn't matter what I'm interviewing someone about. We always come to that moment in the conversation where I ask them for their definition of sourcing or business heroism. I was a guest on the Sourcing Hero podcast long before I was a host, and I'm going to admit I really struggled with this question. And maybe it's because of that, I always caution people during pre-interviews not to forget to think about it a little bit in advance. It's not that I question anybody's ability to answer it, but it's such a pivot from any of the other things that we're talking about in the podcast or that we're used to, frankly, talking about at work. We talk about metrics and KPIs and compliance and analytics, but none of that's really personal or emotional. So every single guest that I've had on has amazing expertise in their chosen discipline, and they have something interesting to say on the topic that we've picked. But being prepared to talk about heroism, that's a different matter altogether. Now, one thing I learned along the way is that it's better if I don't know what they're going to say. So I'll talk people through that, and they'll say, okay, at some point I'm going to pivot and I'm going to answer you this question. Don't tell me now, please. Save your answer. Give it some thought. Don't tell me now. I've found that it's better if I don't know. And I'm actually going to give you a behind-the-scenes secret about that. I'm really glad that I record these interviews all without video. There have been a couple of times that the answer to these questions have hit me right in the heart as I'm hearing them. And I am so grateful in those moments that no one can see the expression on my face. I just have the luxury to sit back and listen to what people are saying. A perfect example comes from one of the very first episodes I hosted with Mickey Schulte. He's the executive director of the Savick Buying Group. Now, I'm going to tell you what they do in a minute, so bear with me. In our pre-interview, I asked Mickey about heroism. And since it was only my second episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast, I hadn't yet figured out how important it would be for me not to know his answer in advance. So we started to talk about it. And he told me, I will never forget this, that he's just a guy that moves boxes from point A to point B. Okay, we're in procurement, and that's related to supply chain. And yes, we move boxes or hire people to move boxes for us from point A to point B. But here's the thing. Savick Buying Group supports the supply needs of EMS companies, ambulances. So when the pandemic was at its worst, many ambulance companies couldn't get what they needed. And hospitals that were typically part of their consumable supply chain had to supply themselves first. And in a lot of cases, they were saying to these ambulances or ambulance companies, I'm sorry, we don't have any to spare. We can't help you. So Mickey and his team pulled out all the stops to help their members get PPE and other essential supplies. And then he says to me, with no hint of drama, that he's just a guy who moves boxes from point A to point B. To me, that's absolutely classic. My other most memorable hero moment surprised me for sure, but I think it might have surprised my guest even as she was saying it. I was talking to Kanda Rozier, and she's the president of Collabra Consulting. She's a former CPO and a longtime friend. She also happens to be a reformed English literature major, just like me. So in episode 26, I got to that moment where I say, okay, Kanda, this is the part I'm going to ask you, you know, how do you define sourcing hero or business heroism? And into her head pops heroes from Greek mythology. So Achilles, Heracles, Jason, right? And as she pointed out in the conversation, heroes sometimes fail. Especially in the case of Greek mythology, they often fail tragically. Achilles was killed in a battle against the Trojan army, stabbed in the heel, as you might expect. Heracles was poisoned by a magical garment of clothing. And Jason, of Argonauts fame, was crushed when the rotten stern of his ship fell on him while sleeping. So, free piece of advice, don't sleep under a rotting ship. But Kanda didn't have a fatalistic message. In fact, her point was quite the opposite. Heroes often fail, sometimes because circumstances are against them, and sometimes because their angry mothers give them pieces of clothing soaked in poisonous blood. But sometimes they fail because they do things that other people are afraid to do. And so if we want to even try to be heroes, we can't be afraid to fail. We have to be committed to the cause or the mission and be willing to take risks. Procurement has seen a lot of change over the last few years, and trust me, there's more coming. Despite all that, this is no time to play it safe. I'm not advocating for recklessness, but I am encouraging informed, calculated risk-taking in the right situations. That's the only way we're going to lead change. No amount of hope or influence or even time dedicated to the little things will lead to substantial change without a healthy willingness to fail. I'd like to leave you with a few final thoughts. Heroes come in all shapes and sizes, and we need them everywhere, work included. You may have been a hero to someone today and not even known it. Maybe you were just moving boxes from point A to point B. But the contents of those boxes or the interactions between the people at each handoff point moving the boxes, may have been life-changing to the people who were involved. And everyone has a story to tell. None of the people I've mentioned today approached me already knowing what they wanted to talk about. Some of the guests on The Sourcing Hero had to be coaxed a little bit to come on, or maybe reassured that people would want to hear from them. And what that means is that you may have a story to tell that you haven't even really thought about. If you do, reach out. Let's have the conversation. I'd be willing to bet there's a story in there. You can reach me easily on LinkedIn, and you can catch new episodes of the Sourcing Hero podcast on all of the major podcast platforms, as well as on Una's website. Take a minute and subscribe, and maybe even leave a review if one of the guests or episodes really speaks to you. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Sourcing Hero podcast, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for The Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.